Hello and welcome to the Touchdown Fucker podcast. I'm your host Lewis, and after a 2 week sabbatical, we're back. On this week's show, we're joined by Manchester United supporter Io, Arsenal supporter Ol, and another Arsenal supporter Leroy, as we go over the week's football and everything that we've missed out on over the last 2 weeks. So without any further ado, let's get cracking onto the show. Okay, let's start with what's happened over the weekend then, guys. Who should we start with? Arsenal. Finally a win, Leroy. And Ol. What did you make of the performance?
Personally, I didn't think the performance was all that. I mean, a lot of people would have seen my tweets prior to the game when I saw the team sheet. And the team sheet had Ramsey and Flamini centre mid. And it had Welbeck. Were two wide forwards in Welbeck and Sanchez on either wing, flanking Giroud. My main concern at that point was obviously Ramsey and Flamini aren't the type of midfielders who are going to dominate a game and control a game. They both give away possession quite needlessly. Both of them struggle to retain the ball. So I thought that, obviously, even though you have Santi Cazorla in front of them, I thought that, okay, with two wide forwards, our ball retention is not going to be very good and it's going to be a very to-and-fro game, as I tweeted before the game. And I think that's how it panned out. Even though, unexpectedly, I think Santi Cazorla was playing deeper than I expected and actually sort of interchanged with Ramsey and played deeper for a lot of the game, I still think it was a to-and-fro game. I think in the first 20 minutes, we only had 30% possession to their 70% possession. So it was very open. We didn't really have control of the game. However, I do think on occasion we looked a little bit more incisive than usual with the three wide forwards up front. So Giroud played very well in my opinion and did interlink very well with the other two. And obviously Santi Cazorla played quite well. Overall, I don't think we played brilliantly. We looked defensively reasonably solid in comparison, maybe thanks to Koscielny coming back, and Flamini had a very good game defensively and positionally. But it was a needed 3 points, so I'm not going to complain too much about the performance, to be honest.
What about yourself? Do you echo Leroy's thoughts, or do yours differ?
Yeah, I thought it was an alright performance. It reminded me a bit like 2013 Arsenal. It was a bit solid at the back, and it was good to see Santi finally take responsibility in the midfield. So that's probably one of my positives.
Yeah.
I think Santi was our best player that day by far, head and shoulders. He played so well centre mid. Like, it really made a difference compared to sort of Ramsey and Jack, because he's just so aware of what he should be doing in the position and what the position requires. And I think the really telling point was when we were 1-0 up. I think it was about 85 minutes. There was a blatant counter-attack on, but it was one of those where if I play this ball, I could lose the ball. And if we lose the ball, we're screwed. And Santi, just the decision making was perfect there. He just looked, hold it up, we're going to take this 1-0, held it up, and just played the perfect ball, and we just kept the ball for the next 3 minutes. And I was thinking, decision making, that is what you want from your centre midfielder, tactically aware.
As opposed to Ramsey in the last minute, trying to score from the edge of the area. When
Ox runs to the edge of the area and then shoots.
When Ox is running through on goal. Just sticking with Cazorla, I mean, why do you think it is that Cazorla struggles to keep up a consistent rate of performance?
For me, I think right now he's not. You can't put him on the wing anymore. You gotta play him central or don't play him.
I think that's bonkers. Me and Ol have had our altercations about Santi Cazorla before, and I told him when it comes to football, we're gonna have it out in it. I think. I don't think it's even that bad. I think people are over-egging his performances and saying they're worse than they are. I think the whole team just looks a bit freestyle and there's no real cohesion. I think if we had a definite sort of pattern of play or something like that, then I think Santi Cazorla would shine. But I just think sometimes when the team doesn't play very well, Santi Cazorla suffers. But I don't think him personally, he's not been poor. His end product on the left, I agree, is not as good as it is central. But then who's is really going to be as good as it is when he is central? I do think that he benefits from actually being involved in the build-up of the game rather than sort of the final third, because my opinion is, from when I watched Santi Cazorla back in the day, Villarreal, Malaga, he's clearly ageing a bit and he's clearly lost a bit of his explosiveness.
So he's still got all his close control, and he's still got his brain, and he's still got his feet, and he's still got he's just generally still a magician. But I just do think that he benefits from now playing a little bit deeper, being more involved in the game, but less of his game being relying on his explosiveness to take a half step and shoot, or take a half step and cross, or do anything like that in terms of the final thirds. So I think he's just, as with age, as with normal players, I think he's benefiting from playing deeper, because every time Santa Cazorla has played in a deeper position this season, I think he's been one of our best players.
Yeah.
Especially against Chelsea, he was our best player by far.
Yeah, and that's
playing deeper this at the moment in with his age and stuff.
That is interesting that Wenger has sort of gone for the Cazorla through the middle ploy. We've seen that more over the last, 6 to 9 months or so.
Yeah.
Whereas before he was obviously shifted out wide, and in his first season he played majority as a number 10. So it is interesting to see that Wenger's gone down that street of playing him as a central midfielder. And we'll see how much that continues as the season goes on. 3-0 at home to Hull. How did Man United play?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to catch the game because I was playing football.
Oh, shit, fan.
But from the highlights I saw, and from what I was reading and speaking to other fans, sounds like we controlled the game, which we really should do because it's Hull at home. So, you know what I mean? Like, they are Hull, very, very bad teams. So a performance like that should be, you know, what's required. But it's good to hear that I heard that Herrera came on and was excellent. I think he's been our best. Before he got injured, he was our best player this season, and I think comfortably he was better than Di Maria. Obviously, Di Maria got the headlines because he was just doing some crazy stuff. But in terms of the overall 90 minutes, Herrera was just magic in pretty much every game he played. So which is good, and it's good that Rooney's getting back into form. Smalling scored, which I'm quite surprised about, but it was a shit goal. Shit player. It's a bit worrying. Our injuries though, like playing Ashley Young at any point in any game is worrying, let alone at left back. And obviously Herrera's just got that injured, but it's good to see that Mata started, and the fact that we kept the ball a lot better, it's no surprise when guys like Mata, Carrick and Herrera are playing. It's good that Herrera's got back. I think he's been our best player this season before he got injured. I think he's even better than Di Maria's grabbing the headlines obviously because he was putting up some match winning moments, but in terms of general player 90 minutes, Herrera's been, I think, our most consistent player. And I think he's changed our midfield where we have somebody who's dynamic, could win attack, but also very like inventive and with good ball retention. And it's good that we actually started to keep Epps into the ball, which is no surprise when you have Mata, Carrick and Herrera in the same team. I think we don't have that many intelligent footballers who like to pick up the ball in tight spaces and play it first time. So I think it's essential that guys like Carrick, Herrera and Mata play a lot more. I'm very happy with how Fellaini's been playing recently, but I still think he should touch bench because I'd rather have Herrera or Mata in the team any single day of the week. But yeah, it's good to see Van Persie get a goal. He's been playing like he's been drunk this season. Like, it's really, really, it's so worrying because I love Van Persie, but like, the performance against Arsenal is just unforgivable.
What do you think is wrong with Van Persie?
I think it's his body. Because like, I don't think it's just his body because age catches up with everybody. But like, it's like, now it's like he's brittle. I think, what game was I watching? I think it was West Brom game. And then, like, the ball will come up to him. His touch will be perfect. But he'll get bullied off the ball. Even against Arsenal, he got waits by Arteta. Like, I've never seen Arteta waste anybody in my life.
But it was kind of like, it was the same against Hull. Like, there was a time he took a touch and he tried, like, normally, you know, he do that cutting and then dummy back.
Yeah.
When he tried that, he just didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know, and in the games we've played where we've been at our best is when Falcao's won, because Falcao, even though he hasn't got the goals yet, his hold up play is just ridiculous. Like, I think when he came on against West Brom, there was one point where the ball was bouncing in like halfway through their half and he was just pushing four defenders out of the way. But Van Persie's not making it stick, so it's like he's still got a technical ability, his movement is still excellent, even though sometimes we just ignore him for some stupid reason. But he just hasn't got the body anymore. And
in the same way, like as I was saying about Santi Cazorla, I think he's lost his explosiveness. Like,
I think that's
what it is, and that is so key in the final third, in any position, any position in the final third. It's all about your explosiveness.
Zero gas. He's got zero gas. Like,
so
zero. So with, I think one of those ones where I think he's gonna probably, if we're gonna play him, he might drop deeper. Like, to fair, like a few games when we've had like Wilson and Van Persie in the pitch at the same time, or Wilson and, no, when Falcao and Van Persie, Van Persie dropped off a bit deeper and he got into the game a lot. Obviously, he's just a very intelligent footballer. But I think playing like that last man, as the, you know, the big number nine, at times this season, he's been struggling, and it's quite worrying to see, because talent-wise, he's by far the best player, in my opinion. Like, he's just a different, he's a different kid. But I still think Wayne Rooney is playing as the most important player. And he's shown it, because no matter how rubbish or well that guy plays, he's putting numbers on the board.
Yeah.
Straight. I think it's something like he scored 70 goals in his last 100 appearances at Old Trafford. And I think, and there's one stat where, like, in like his last 100 and something games, there's only been 4 games that he hasn't either scored or assisted in for Man United. And that, to me, that's, to
that's
me, that's
crazy, man. That's productivity at his finest.
Yeah, that is phenomenal. But we got, I think we got Stoke at home on Tuesday, so hopefully those pagans don't injure any more of our players. And then we got Southampton away on Monday, and then we got Liverpool.
Next Saturday as well.
And then we've got bloody Liverpool soon on the 14th, so that's the one I really want us to.
Just sticking with Man United, I mean, I absolutely bottled it last week in terms of doing a pod. I'll openly admit that. I just wanted to talk briefly over the game because the emotions have settled down a bit. I'm not suicidal anymore. I wasn't as much surprised. I was just very, very angry.
You guys worried about that performance? I was like, wow.
You guys were shocking, mate.
Yeah, but it happens.
No, I'm sorry. No. My point was, yeah. Let me explain what I said. Yeah. So, essentially, I was saying, I said my piece about Arsenal. I don't understand why Man United fans were getting so up in arms about me stating my opinion about Man United. All I said was, on that performance, and on another team, forget Arsenal. Because we're never going to beat you 3-4-0 with Wenger in charge, yeah?
We should have.
But another team would have. And that's all I was saying. And I was going to say is, in terms of Man United's setup, how on earth you could come to Arsenal and play the way you did in your setup, being so open and letting us just control the game for 60 minutes, was unfathomable to me.
He
was open. We were carving you apart, mate.
Nah, I don't even blame them for all this stuff. Our finishing was a fucking joke.
Now listen, with the game, let's not get it twisted. Yeah. It wasn't like we came and then we were attacking you and lose the ball. No.
We were just shit.
Every time we got the ball, we gave it back to you. But let me tell you this, yeah. The reason why I'm not stressed over the performance is because we went to Emirates, yeah. And you lot ain't lost about 20-something games. And you lot are still a very good team, innit? So we're still going away from home to a very good team, to a rival. And we are playing. Yeah, we're playing a back five of. Let me read it out to you: Valencia, Ashley Young, McInnes, Smalling, and who's our other?
Blackett.
Our first choice back four is Raphael, Evans, Rojo, and Shaw. And Shaw only played about how many minutes? So our whole first choice back four were there. So I'm not going to be worried about the performance. Like, how often about your whole first choice back four going to be playing? That's very rare, so I'm not going to be worried about that. I'm happy that we dug in deep. We somehow managed to stay in the game because you lot can't finish. But I knew that, okay, they don't score in the first half, that's it. We will score.
That's exactly what I tweeted anyway. I said, when it went 0-0 at half time.
Because I know, with Arsenal, all you have to do is just score first, and that's it, it's game over. Because then you press panic button and send everybody off the pitch, and then. You're so lucky that we were on retard mode that day.
Yeah, you should have probably beaten us about 4-0, wouldn't you?
We chose a wrong option every single time. But there's even one time, I think Rooney was at 5 yards on the side, and it was him and Van Persie versus Monreal and Szczesny. And we know there's going to be one outcome from that. That would have been a goal. And then Di Maria missed one, and we missed so many counter-attacks. So, yeah, I wasn't stressed about it. I was really annoyed in the first 15 minutes of how much my team get absolutely outplayed. But I know that probably won't happen again. I won't see our team get bossed that badly again this season. It was just run after.
The thing is, I'm obviously, as you know, people, I'm often quite critical of Wenger because I'm quite objective in what I see. I think Wenger got everything pretty much right that day. The only thing I can say is he needs to he needs to give his players some instruction. Like, when your players are acting dumb on the pitch, and okay, you're what, 60 something minutes and you're down 1-0, and then you're playing one at the back and doing all, like, yeah, you can defend on your runs and that. It's up to him to be like, look, sort your life.
Yeah, I don't understand his comments afterwards. He was like, I don't know why Saka was up the pitch.
You don't understand. Where have you been for the last 9 years, bro? This is what this guy's been doing from. I don't know why.
I just don't get why he does it. Why? What is your problem?
All you have to say is when you're wearing
your left back and just say, look, stop it. Like, behave yourself.
When you think about it, you were leaving 2v2. And it wasn't just any 2v2. This was bloody Di Maria and Rooney 2v2.
See, I wouldn't mind if that's in the 88th minute. But we were doing it on like,
and we were,
yeah,
we were all over them. 60 minutes, and we were still all over them.
The goal was gonna come. The goal was coming. In my opinion, I thought the goal was coming. I thought we would nick a point.
No, but yeah, see that game, yeah. You know what? The reason why I was kind of happy with 1-0 was because I knew that you were gonna change the way you play. Because if you kept the way you play, which every other team, maybe our top team would have done, you probably would have scored, because you don't have that many shots, do you know what I mean? And that much possession. Somebody's gonna make a mistake from our team, or you're gonna get
mad. They made fucking the goalkeeper look way better than he is. Even though he's good, yeah, like he's world class, but still.
Yeah, we didn't force one good save from De Gea, which was a bit disappointing.
I think the only good save he made was against Oxford.
Yeah, all of them were strat. All the shots were strat.
People were definitely over exaggerating De Gea's performance. But he did what he had to do. He saved everything. I still think he could have maybe done better with Giroud's shot though.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I think his kicking that game was abysmal. All the saves he made, I expect him to save. So
yeah, his kicking was really bad in that game.
It was actually like very.
Yeah. How they give De Gea man in a match? I don't know, but
yeah, I think man in the match was. I think Martin Chairman was probably the best player in the pitch, but obviously I don't like him. I don't like the man of the match in a team that loses, because
I think Carrick was good.
Yeah, I think man of the match was probably Carrick, Oxlade, or maybe or Rooney. Those three were the best players on the pitch in my opinion.
Rooney?
But, yeah, I think Rooney played well.
Yeah, Rooney did. He done his job.
Rooney played well. And I think if everyone else around him wasn't so sure.
Can we just establish that it was a foul for your opener? I don't know. I think they may have clashed, but Chesney would have pushed the ball further.
No, because didn't he touch the ball before he even touched Gibbs? I'm sure he did.
But it doesn't matter still. It doesn't matter still, because when you're going to push a ball, yeah, think about it. If you're going to push a ball and you get clattered, your follow through on the push of the ball is just going to be impacted by that.
Yeah, true.
So,
but what I'm saying is that didn't he already hit the ball already?
Yeah, he had his hands on the ball, and then Gibbs has hit him, and the ball's just gone nowhere. It's just gone to Valencia, who's absolutely screwed it wide.
Such a sucker punch, man. Like,
yeah, it was.
I don't think I understand how much.
But it's another thing that annoys me with Arsenal is we're just sitting there watching Ashley Young cut the ball in his right foot to cross the ball in. I don't understand why we did it.
Mad. You know, his fault that was the whole, like, before that goal.
Ramsey, yeah.
Be essential midfield that you guys are telling me about last season.
I'll say you guys, man. You need to explain.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It was good, you, but the other two.
Purple patch is nothing, man.
The other two.
I need to holler at you, Ollie, Owen, Sell, man, because, like, your shouts, man.
I'll tell you what, we're going to be moving on to some shout outs in a minute, mate.
Yeah, alright, cool.
What shout out?
We're going to be moving on to Liverpool in a minute.
See that Liverpool team. Every time I look at their starting lineup, I just nothing. It's just so fun. Like, how can you spend 100 M's and that's what comes out of it?
Do you know what? Like, I just think this Liverpool team, they just miss. They haven't got the players to implement the style of play they want to at the moment, because without Sturridge being fit, and I just think they need to change it, or while Sturridge is not fit. Because at the end of the day, they rely on a fast forward who, one, can run the channels very well, and two, can stretch your position, and three, can spring on the counter-attack. That is all what Liverpool are about. vision. A lot of their goals came from like intensity, high press, and then from counter attack. They just haven't got the players for that. You haven't got Ibalo, not going to do it. Lambert can't do it. Even if you play Sterling up front, fair enough. So I just think without taking two of those players out, the main players that were involved in that, if they had, say, Sturridge and they brought Origi back, and I think you'd see a different Liverpool team. I think you'd see more of a Liverpool team of last season.
That's still not the problem, though. That's still not the problem. Like, you have to question the defending.
Yeah, but the thing is, it is odd, because the thing is, where did the defending come from last season? Even though they still conceded a lot of goals, they're defending from the front and they're pressing.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, because they won a lot of the ball there. That's why they're, when they're not winning the ball and they haven't got that intensity, teams are just coming onto them, so they're going to defend even worse.
They can't deal with that.
To me, they seem like they're stuck in between a rock and a hard place. Like, they don't exactly know what style they're supposed to be doing right now.
No, I do think they know what style they're supposed to be, but, like, the person, like, obviously the injury to Sturridge...
And taking Suarez out of the team. So you're taking two of the team.
But without Sturridge, like, they seem like they're trying to keep the ball a little bit more and try this sort of, like, the patient possession football.
And
it doesn't seem to be working, because...
Lallana,
yeah.
Really make that work.
Yeah, exactly. Because go on.
You need in that kind of when you play that kind of football, you need Iniestas, you need sparks, you need brave footballers who take up great positions on the pitch and make things happen. And they haven't really got any of them, to be fair.
At least you show like the balls to drop Gerrard. Like
Liverpool's just a team full of average Joes. That's just a bottom line of it. Like they spent 100 M's on. Just bare average guys. I don't understand how you could spend that much money and have less world class players than you did last season. It doesn't make sense to me.
It's kind of mad, like how poor Sterling's been as well. Like, it's just.
This is the guy that was better than Ronaldo at 19. This is what people are actually telling me.
Yeah,
he's
better than Oxley.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, you can't. This is what I've been saying generally, this is what I said back in the first touch, and you can't judge players on their form up and down.
Sterling is
my biggest. I got him wrong.
Because
I thought he was another Sean Wright Phillips.
Aaron Lennon.
But he has quality, and he's evident to see. But the thing is, when your team's not playing well, when the environment's different, when the confidence isn't there, you're not going to show it. Like, it just doesn't come out. Obviously, you've got the Messis and stuff. But even them, they struggle if the team's not playing well and the environment's not right. Like, he's not playing the same as what he did under Pep.
Of course, this is elite football. It's not the elite football.
The smallest things matter. Sterling's still a baller, but he's not going to play well in a team that's not suited for him.
I think, I don't know, maybe it's just like football fans these days, they're so sucked in by form. It is ridiculous.
It's unreal, man.
Because the biggest example I use is Diego Costa. Because everyone was like, this guy's kind of good last season.
I saw people putting him on levels with Aguero.
And then I think because he got injured towards the end of the season, and then he didn't have a great World Cup, even though every single Spanish player was crap. Oh, he's a donkey, Chelsea got ripped off.
Then he
came big in the season, he was slapping so many goals. He's the best striker in the Premier
League. I still hate him, man. I still think the guy's a cunt.
He should have been sent off. I don't even rate him that highly, man. I still don't rate him that highly.
I personally like him. I think he bangs goals, and that's why I like him. He scores goals. It's funny how he was his best striker in the Premiership, but now Aguero's back fit and slamming goals.
I can name 20 strikers I'd rather than.
I think you're crazy. 20 Costa. Strikers.
Let's
say 15.
I would prefer to have in my team than Costa. I think I'll like, you know.
I agree.
I'm actually interested in that.
Oh, you put me on the spot.
Yep.
The obvious ones like Aguero, Suarez, Ibra, Rooney. I would have Van Persie over Costa still.
Yeah, so would I.
Lewandowski.
Benzema.
I think Benzema, yeah. Sturridge,
personally. So who?
Storage.
Yeah, I'm
agree
with
Storage. Falcao. I'm struggling. Who did you say, sorry?
Alexis, are we going to count him as a striker?
I'd definitely have Alexis over Costa.
Because you count him as a striker. Tevez.
Tevez.
Yeah, 100%.
How many is that?
That's 11-ish, 11 or 12.
Alright, maybe not 20, but...
I think
if I sat down and thought about it, I could probably think of a few more.
I'm surprised you guys didn't mention Cavani.
Cavani. Oh, yeah, I'm not a big Cavani fan, so.
I think he's better than Costa, though.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of either of them.
For me, this is the thing. The way I assess players, I assess their attributes, what I like, what I don't like. And then the thing, because every player's skill set, especially if you're good at certain things, can be enhanced in a certain system and can be optimised in a certain system. Mm-hmm. Costa, especially the way Atletico play and the way Chelsea play, he suits it so perfectly, like down to a T. And the thing is, he's got, like, he has a lot of traits, he has a lot of characteristics. People like Costa and Koke, I used to like a lot. I just hate when people start overrating people, when people get on the bandwagon and
it. Oh, Koke is still better than Fabregas.
Oh, shut your mouth. It's better than bullshit. Shut your mouth, bro. I'm not hearing it. I am not having it. I'm not having
this delusion. No,
no, no, no, forget that. I'm not having it.
He's even Atletico's best midfielder.
I don't think he is.
So who's better than him? I think fucking Gabby's better than him.
He's the best midfielder, but Oliver Torres is not there. But yeah, anyway, I actually, back in the day, because I used to follow Spanish football quite a lot, I don't work anymore that much, but I used to love Costa, I used to love Koke, I used to love all these players, and then suddenly the Twitter sphere got hold of them and just started saying, oh, they're the best of the best. I'm like, oh, not really. So like,
that's
like,
normal though, man.
Koke is better washing.
No, it's not.
He's not.
He has not got. If you sent Jack Wilshere that season under Diego Simeone, Jack Wilshere will show you what a baller he is. True. He's a freaking baller, bro. Koke does not have. Don't piss me off. He's not in the league, bro. He can't even wish to have the talent Jack Wilshere has. I can't even wish it on him. Trust me.
But why does he always play better?
What do you mean?
Always plays better.
Technically, Henderson played better than Wilshere last season.
I don't even think he did, bro.
Concentration for the last 10-yard pass, and it'll be a crap pass. It'll be poor quality. And I'm like, Ramsey, that's, you're better than that. Like, what are you doing? There's certain things in his game that need coaching into his game. And the thing is, if I've always said as well, if I was Ramsey's like coach, I would sort of make him into a proper double pivot player, because he's got the energy, he's got the enthusiasm, he's got the tenacity. You can make him tackle. I'd make him more of a sitting player. Like, I mean, I know people have loved this quest to be a goal scorer, but I'd make it more occasional personally. I would literally base his game on Bastian Schweinsteiger. That is, if I was Ramsey's coach, in my opinion. But he'd need a lot of work for it. But I'd make him into a proper double pivot player, because I think he could do it, and I think that's how he would be the best.
Like the new head of youth, that's what they're doing with some youth called Maitland-Niles, and he's fucking sick.
Yeah, Maitland-Niles looks quality, mate.
Yeah, he does. He's only 17 as well.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's cold.
Mm. I just want to talk a little bit about Chelsea and a few other things.
The Ren boys, mate. I hate them.
Yeah, fucking Ren boys.
I hate them got so much, bro. They're so fucking... Fabinho in his little interview, yes, my team, we don't know if we're going to win the league. We couldn't win the league. Well, you know you're going to win the league. Shut him up.
I didn't even realise Man City were only 6 points behind him, though.
I don't care. He's guts.
I would love it if Man City wouldn't tie, you know.
Oh, mate. I would love it, but I wouldn't care at the same time.
Yeah, it just wouldn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. Like,
everyone else has their own Premier League.
What bothers you is when they put a £45 million bid for Ozil, bro.
Yeah, that's it. Then it would bother me, but right now it doesn't bother me. No, but do you guys think that Chelsea can go unbeaten, or?
Nah, I think someone's going to touch him sooner or later.
Yeah, I think they'll lose sooner or later.
Yeah, I think yes, they made me feel a bit more comfortable about it. Like, you know what, this team can be touched.
I kind of want them to go and be in just so it will spite you, though. Cause
nah, you don't want that, mate. Because if they...
Can you imagine
if
they're
irritating regardless of what happens in life, so any sort of difference to me whatsoever, because it's just irritating. Mm. Any difference, but just to spite you. That's not the one thing you look and say, we're the only team that's ever got undefeated 10 years ago, but it's still relevant today. Like, I'd want that just to stop up once and for all, so Chelsea's got to be in.
You know what, Ben, I don't think they'll go and beat him, but they won't. Very good team. They look us.
Yeah.
And I think they'll touch 90 points, definitely.
It'll be a team where they wrap up the league by April and they just go on the Champions League, focus on the Champions League, honestly.
Mm. I really, really want them to get that shit draw where, do you know when, okay, obviously they're going to win their group, but like, the draw after they'll get that Real Madrid or something, I want them to get banged out so early.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to win the Champions League whatsoever.
Yeah, me neither.
They've got a very good chance.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I think like they're a team that nobody really want to face, because they've got so many modes of playing.
Sorry to bring it back to Ife again. He obviously believes that Chelsea, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich are like on the same level. I don't think we've ever really discussed that.
I don't think Chelsea are on that level yet. But in terms of level of play, like I was thinking, for example, I'll use these two games here. Real Madrid versus Barcelona, and then Bayern Munich versus AS Roma at the Stadio Olimpico. I haven't seen Chelsea this season have not touched that level of play from either Real or Bayern, point blank period. However, I would still put them on the same level in terms as footballing teams, because I don't see Real Madrid being able to go to Stamford Bridge and completely, you know, play them off the park, or same way or vice versa. I think Bayern may be on a higher level to both teams, because they're playing some ridiculous football, and they have even got Trent has just come back here, and Thiago's not even back here. So
they only conceded like 3 or 4 league goals Bayern this season.
Well, Bayern went to Etihad and actually bossed the Etihad with 10 men. Like, completely played so comfortable against Man City. It's only just 2 retarded defensive mistakes that cost them the game.
Yeah.
But I still think all 3 of those teams, honestly, and especially with Chelsea, they could win. So
Chelsea are strong. Like, you know what? You say on the same level. Fair enough, they're not going to play the same like standard of football in terms of actual quality. But they can go, I reckon, they can go and they can beat both those teams over 2 legs.
Yeah,
they can beat over 2 legs. They can beat Bayern over 2 legs.
No,
wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, so if it depends on what you mean by level. Like, if can we match them? Yeah, we can. But I don't think Mourinho team's never going to play football like that. I mean, not really and truly. So
yeah, but like in my opinion, like when you say like if we're going to be specific, like if every single team has their what they're playing at their peak,
I don't think Real Madrid's, I mean, don't think Chelsea are as good as Real Madrid at their peak, or Bayern as their peak, even Barcelona as their peak.
Yeah, probably.
Because those teams have too many players that could just unlock the door, and they're proactive teams. Proactive teams tend to be more dangerous than reactive teams. Chelsea are proactive, but when they play teams of similar level, like we saw them against saw them against Liverpool, they weren't exactly dominant. Man City, they got outplayed for most of the game. Against Man United, we outplayed them quite a lot of the game as well. They probably had like a good 20 minutes in the second half when they scored. That was pretty much about it. So they're playing. This is when they're playing teams that were levels, and they didn't really do anything. Even against Arsenal, they weren't exactly. How many chances did they create? Like one or two. Do you know what I mean? But when I've seen Real Madrid against Barca, another team that's levels, they've completely updated.
They imposed their game on the game, isn't it?
Like, yeah, they obliterated them. They just smashed them. Bayern on Man City, they played them in games. Bayern completely battered by the AS Roma. So I'm not too sure about that one. But I think Chelsea could definitely win the Champions League. But so, I think three other teams can. And maybe Atletico, I'm not too sure. I can see a bit more than this season.
You always get wild cards, so yeah. It's hard to predict something. You always get the same old teams are already there, and then you just get some random wild card. I don't know who that's going to be this year, but I think last year it was obvious from early that the wild card was going to be Atletico. I'm not really sure who's sort of come out this year, has made a statement in the group stages or anything like that. So
yeah, no one we'll really has, to be fair.
Yeah, we'll see what happens in the next few rounds.
So Dortmund started off quite brightly, but they've just been getting slapped for the last couple of weeks in the league, so...
But they've been getting slapped all season. But they still managed to beat us.
And players off the park.
Yeah, I was about to just absolutely spank us.
Didn't you play them off the park on Wednesday or Tuesday?
Not really.
No, I didn't think we'd played that well on Tuesday.
We just beat them.
We were just better than them. Which makes that Anderlecht draw even more gutting, because we could have actually won the group this year.
Yeah, but you probably want to draw like Bayern Munich in the second round.
Standard procedure. Bayern Munich or Barcelona, one of the two anyway.
Yeah, get slats 4-0 on the home leg and then go and draw away.
Well, that hasn't really been happening recently, has it?
Basically, in the last 5 years, you've been out of the tie in the first round, in the first leg. Bayern twice.
We're rallying back somehow on the
Bayern twice.
Yeah, but you think about it, we've only gone out on like away. Did we go out on away goals last year? Was it or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We lost by one goal.
One goal away goals. Even Barcelona was away goals. One of them, I think.
You managed to get a draw and a win for the last two trips to Bayern with only three shots across both trips. I still don't understand. I don't understand.
It's Wenger, tactical genius, mate.
That was so rubbish. I don't know why
it's funny and ironic, because the game played against Bayern, like the first 20 minutes, you lot were moving Ozil sent Boateng to Lidl with that chop, like you lot proper playing well. But the matches you played, I think the matches in the Allianz Arena, you've been crap, but you got results. It's just weird. Like,
because at home, we'll always get chances against teams, and we at home in European nights, we do tend to
play very well.
to do quite well, but.
If we had just a proper killer. This is why when I was telling you guys that you wasted money on Ozil, you guys wanted to check. Well, like, I'm not saying Ozil's a waste of money. Like, obviously he's an extremely talented footballer. But if for a club like Arsenal, if you're gonna spend 42 million on anybody, it's got to be on a killer.
We should have got both.
You can get both, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This is why we should have done whatever it took,
to get Suarez.
To get Falcao. No, to get Falcao, because Suarez was not going to, Liverpool wasn't going to sell. This summer, we should have matched Man United and we should just try to get
Falcao. No, it was never going to, they were going to always beat us for wages.
But for a season, like 20 mil, really? Like, it costs us, in terms of the FFP, it costs us the same as Ozil, 300,000 a week or something in terms of the fee and the wages.
But knowing our luck, Leroy, man, he would just get out injured for the whole season.
I still think Suarez is more attainable. They should have pushed higher with the feet.
He wasn't attainable. They weren't selling for nothing.
I mean, whatever happens, like, there's been opportunities for you to get that guy who's just going to kill off games. There's been opportunities, and you haven't done it. I don't even know
why Barcelona allowed you pagans to get Sanchez, and it's really, really
on. I know, they so fucked up, mate.
Like, I think God even bless you, like Sanchez, because if you didn't get Sanchez, yeah, it would have been so dire this season. So dire this season.
I think we would have got someone regardless. It's just, you know.
Yeah, but like, come on, Sanchez, it's not just someone.
We just need a killer. If we get a killer, it's all over.
So that's me. That's why next summer is actually like a no, because you can get like what do you need a few pieces. Like,
no, even January, man. January, we need to start from Jan.
We
should get like a centre back in Jan.
We need like 3 players in Jan.
We ain't gonna get 3 players though, man.
Okay, we need at least 2, a centre back and a DM.
We
need that's a must.
Because I have a genuine fear that Arteta might be done.
We need that. It never happens, man.
Yeah.
No, because like the pieces, like the centre back and that, like, there's always centre backs out there. There's always defensive midfielders that are, you know, of a level that are attainable for Arsenal. With those certified, you know, match winners, that's your priority this summer, I think, because you have so many talented footballers that create chances out of nothing. We need that somebody, even if you have somebody like a Cavani or Falcao, even somebody like Immobile, bro, that will just bury every time. Don't get a like Robert, and I think Robert will probably get you goals. Same thing with Giroud will get you goals, or Podolski will get you goals.
Yeah, it just needs that one more striker.
Those guys, they not too disrespectful to them, but they get you goals in games where you're probably going to win anyway. Remember when you went to Anfield like 2-3 years ago, yeah, and you're getting pumps, like they're playing the crossbar challenge. And then Anfield had 2 chances, they were half chances, but he buried both of them.
Both in the last 5 minutes, I swear, or something.
Even look at Sergio Aguero against
Bayern Munich.
And QPR, they were getting pumps, just a ball over the top. There was 3 men around him, really good pass, 3, slapped it in. You need that type of player. And I don't think, how many teams could prosper for not having that type of player? I can't think. Maybe Bayern Munich, but Bayern Munich, every single person in their team is pretty much world class. So they play a style game where they just, you know, they can obliterate anybody. And they've got Robert, bloody Lewandowski, now go at say. Not many teams are going to have world class talent across the whole board to not have one person that they can rely on for consistent goals. And I think Sanchez has been a revelation. Sanchez was always a goal scorer, but I didn't think he'd be able to score this much from like a right left position. So I think if that one striker, that's levels, I think he'd be a very, very dangerous.
To be fair though, I mean, I think he's got 7 in his last 6 or last 7, but a lot of them have come through like playing either behind the striker or.
But he plays we've been changing formation like 2-3 times in the game. They've all switched position. So. They don't really have a position.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
So sometimes he's playing through the centre for 10 minutes, and then he's playing left for 5 minutes, and then he's playing right for 15 minutes. So yeah, he's just getting goals. And the thing is, I knew this would happen. Like, as I said, Sanchez will fly come November. When he's got used to the league, he's going to bank. And you can see it from the day he came to our club. You can see what he was about. You can see he was through the Premier League, and it was obvious he's going to bank. Like, simple as. But that should be the mould of the. I think, if especially if we're going to keep this Wenger guy. Sorry, that's a bit disrespectful. Keep Arsene Wenger. We need players like that. We need players who are one, who are just hungry, intrinsically motivated, and will just do what it takes to win. Like, that's the mould of player that Wenger should be buying for his teams.
That he needs.
For his teams. He needs people who are hungry like that. He needs people who are just going to... We can't be getting... Yeah, natural born winners. We can't be getting these people who are just going to come in and, like, float about. Like, I mean, as much as I love Mesut Ozil, Wenger's not the right manager for Mesut Ozil. He's not the right manager to get the best out of Mesut Ozil. The Sanchez, no matter who, like, who's managing him, he's gonna be levels, you know what I mean? That's the type of player we need to be getting in our team, unless Wenger goes, and we get a stronger,
I think that when everyone's fit, you got to have a very, very big selection problem, because you have, okay, if you're going to play one, let's say you're going to play one up front, you're going to have 3, you're going to do the 4-2-3-1. Yeah. I think there's 4 players that I think really need to play, and that's Sanchez, Ozil, Walcott, and I think Chamberlain needs to play personally. So how are you going to, you know, balance that, unless you want to play Sanchez as the main striker? Because I think Walcott has to play, because he's the only one on your team.
He's a bang.
He will just bang.
He's a banger.
Sanchez, he does a lot of defensive work. Walcott's not interested in that. He just wants to slap goals.
But you know what, as much as I still do not rate Walcott as an overall
same
combat, I'm such a overall combat, because he
in the last three seasons or something, his end product has been a joke. Yeah,
crazy.
It's been a joke.
And the thing is, yeah, it's like, with Walcott, like, it's not just like stats, yeah. If you actually just watch what your guy does, even though,
you know, even in big games, in the middle third, you know, against every big team,
in the middle third, yeah, the guy's absolutely junk. I'm not gonna lie to you, but what his movement off that right flank, yeah,
so freaking.
And when he gets to the box, his first touch, when it's a goal scoring chance, is always on point. And he's finishing his side straight side net, left foot, right foot. He's burying the keeper, and I think you missed that. But also, guys at Oxford, if you just want to get at people 24/7, I think you need to play Oxford Chamberlain.
Yeah.
I think you need to play Oxford Chamberlain.
Him and Sanchez are making stuff happen for us at the moment.
But then again, you've got, then how are you going to fit that in with Mesut Ozil and Theo Walcott and Welbeck / Giroud?
The way it's kind of a good day, I guess.
It's a good day, but the thing is, it depends. Because at the end of the day, like, me personally, I've always been a guy, I don't think you should have a best 11. Your best 11 should be suited to whoever you're playing, but that's not really the Wenger way. So, like, I would have these five players or whatever, and I would chop and change literally nearly every game for who I think will do best in which game. But I don't think like Sanchez is the main striker, though.
The problem with that, yeah, is that in this day and age, these players will think, I'm actually too good not to be certified starting, I won't ever want to bounce.
No, the thing is, that's a mentality you breed, isn't it? Like, it's a mentality, because I'm sorry, that would, they will not think that Real Madrid, don't not think that Barcelona, don't not think that Man United even. They'll not think that Man United even.
But
yeah, I know, but that's the thing. We need to breed that mentality. We need to get all these players in and just start being like, look, tough. And when you're winning games, everyone's fine with it. So if we go and start winning games like that, then no one's going to
work. Yeah, it's when you're not winning, that's when people are thinking, I should be starting.
Yeah.
I've been doing that. Okay, just before we wrap it up, obviously, I think Thierry Henry's going to retire this week. So I just wanted to get, like, your best Thierry Henry memories, or your favourite Thierry Henry memory. I know it's going to be a bit painful for you, Ayo, but
my top three, let me go with my top three. Okay, my best Thierry Henry memories, that run at the Bernabeu when he buried it, bottom corner, when he sent Sergio Ramos to the shops. the Italian job, that 5-1 against Inter Milan.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's going to come in my top three, the comeback goal, man, because I nearly cried, honestly.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
When he came back, and he came on the pitch, and Song just found him, it was so surreal.
It was like 10 years just rolled back, and it was, oh.
I know old Arsenal fans, like 50-year-olds, who said that is the greatest moment as an Arsenal fan, when he came back, being there live, just to see that happen.
And he was proper crying as well, like.
He was crying, he went to hug Wenger, it was just a beautiful.
Guys,
shut up, man. Like, you know what? My big one is slapped and when he done that turn and slap against Barthez. slap. Oh, gosh, I love that guy.
My favourite Henry moments, even though that used to piss me off all the time. I was going to say the Mississippi Champions League final, but that's a bit mean, isn't it? he scored a goal in the FA Cup in Liverpool where he kicked the ball like 25,000 yards wide left. Blue character. Blew him again.
Oh, yeah.
It was like he was doing 400 meter race. Like, he went around in a circle and he still got there. Like, I was watching, thinking this can't be happening. Another goal he scored. Yeah, I think he'll get into Milan. He ran at Zanetti. He slowed any guy to Zanetti. He blew him. Waited for him. Went back. Then turned him again and he buried him his left foot in the far corner. I think it was the 5-1 game against Milan.
Yeah.
I was just thinking. I was thinking, what type of human being is this? And then,
that game was ridiculous. Him and Bobby.
And I think I was gonna say the goal against Tottenham, where he just, it was like Highbury.
No,
he just blew it. He just buried it. But no, I think I'm gonna go for the one against Charlton, when I think the defender was giving a bit of stick. And then the guy was holding him up, he just backheeled it straight into the corner.
14, I think.
Gave him the ear for, like. Actually, yeah. No, forget that. When he scored a free kick and he told the Arsenal referee, is that yeah. He's so weak.
Oh, man.
I even thinking to myself today when I was talking to you about Henry, and I was thinking about all the moments where I was growing up, I started to think, do I really think Cristiano Ronaldo is better than this guy? Because now I'm not as sure as I was before.
because he completely took the league for a joke.
He did take
Now took Tippi for a joke, but Henry actually dominated games. Like, he's a striker who's dominating games.
Do you know what? Nah, I mean, as much as I love Henry, I can't lie, Ronaldo's the best player to ever touch grace. He's ever graced this league by far. I can't lie to you. Like, Ronaldo's different league.
By far.
But that was different league. Different league. He's gone. He's ghost.
Ronaldo was so great.
He took the mic. Like, he actually took the mic. He reinvented football in this league. He was that good. But I'm with my dad in it, so yeah.
He's still way better than Van Nistelrooy, and I still stand by that.
I was going to say that.
People say that. I didn't even go in flats over that, you know. I used to get on my nerves so much.
I used to go to school alive through my teeth, like, oh my God, this was the icon. Can I rehead? He can't head, shut up. That was my argument. I was like, yeah, he's better than Vieira.
That one used to piss me off more than only Vieira.
But the thing was, yeah, I knew deep down truth was, but I still wanted to cherish anyway. So I think that's when my trolling actually really started.
Every Man United fan used to do the Van Nistelrooy, but yeah, Henry one.
Van Nistelrooy was unreal though.
Yeah, he was. I didn't even realise how good his goal scoring record was until the other day, and I saw that Champions League stat, and he's like on Ronaldo goal ratio, like 50 and 73 or something.
Yeah, good for Henry, but Van Nistelrooy got time for that. He just waits and he just buries him, man. Why are you supposed to run around like an endless chicken? Save his energy, B.
Alright, cool. Yeah, that's enough of the Henry memories. It's making me nostalgic and a bit sick.
Yeah,
a bit upset as well. Hey, Sonogo, yeah, he's got the same amount of goals as Falcao this season, mate.
That's fantastic. That is really, really, really great for Sonogo.
And he's only played like one game. And he's only played like one or two games.
Yeah, injured him had the same amount of time, they had the same amount of minutes as well. That's banter.
Exactly.
That's great.
And we got him on a free transfer, motherfucker.
I'm sure you're happy that you got Sonogo.
Hey, listen, I love Sonogo. I think he's... Me and Leroy talked about it the other day. Leroy thinks he sharpened up his game.
Wait, I said he cleaned up his game. It's still trash, don't do
it. No. Wait, no, you said, yeah, you reckon he can be as good as Thierry Henry. I'll find the WhatsApp message.
You're a crap. You're a crap.
No. I'm gonna give Sonogo a chance.
But yo, Bene Cafobe's got 23 goals and it's not in the second. Huh?
It's 18.
No, he's got 23, man, four competitions.
Yeah, like four of them came against Man United, I swear.
Yeah. No, he's got 23 goals and it's not even December yet. I mean, should we be looking at this boy?
He was a big before that injury, he was like rated highly. Like,
yeah, he was rated highly like Chubba, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he's way higher than Chubba. He's supposed to be like something else, like, because Barcelona tried taking him in chucks.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, whatever league you're playing in, if you're hitting Ronaldo numbers, if you're scoring 23 before December, he could get 25-30 before Christmas, bro.
Yeah, it's not.
That's got to get a look in, surely.
That is actually Ronaldo numbers.
Like, signed a new contract.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, do you not think, like, at least he should get a chance? I mean, if he's come back, if he comes back and he scores 40 goals.
Boy.
You can't really say no to the kid, man. You put him on loan, you ask him to prove himself, he scored 40 goals or something stupid.
Yeah.
I think he needs to. I think if he carries on this goal ratio for the season, he needs a chance next season. No
doubt. He's probably scored more career goals than Welbeck now.
He has.
Actually, he probably has.
That is actually.
I'm sure at youth level, like, he must have scored something crazy, like 45 plus for the under 16s. One season.
Yeah, Bennett back in the day was absolutely caning teams. That's what I'm saying, like, he was like Chubba. Chubba, he was doing the exact same as Chubba. He was just scoring so many goals. Even more than Chubba.
Yeah.
But yeah.
My personal opinion is if this continues, he needs a chance.
Quick question, lads. Why doesn't Joel Campbell get game time?
Because we have Arsene Wenger in charge, and like
I'm not even trying to be rude here, but if I was Joel Campbell and I was watching Sonogo play ahead of me,
I don't get this obsession with Joel Campbell playing up front.
Yeah, no. The thing is, like, he has to have a certain prototype of player in his team up front. I've noticed, and he doesn't play anyone else who doesn't fit into that prototype.
Like, as soon as Podolski, he played, tried Podolski there, he doesn't fit into the prototype, gone. Tried Sanchez there, he hasn't done it again, because, like, it's just not happening. He has to, you have to be able to fulfill certain criteria in terms of the link up.
That's why I don't get why people are surprised.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised, but I'm surprised he's not playing at all. Like, at all.
Mm.
Just not even on the left or the right or whatever. Or not even,
but then again, when Chamberlain's in that form.
Yeah, I don't see
Sanchez. He's not even coming on for 10 minutes, dude. Like,
yeah, no, that's true.
I've been to betting in Sterling and Yanazai Gnabry. Like,
no, but Gnabry's injured, though, man.
He's losing weight.
And Gnabry's wavy anyway.
Yeah, he's losing weight, man. So that's what I was saying. He looks like he's been eating so many pies, bro.
No.
Yeah, he came back overweight. He looks it.
You've been talking to Solly too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout anyway, out Solly, man. Let's wrap it up here anyway.
Shout out Solly, he's a guy, man.
Yeah, we'll join you next week. We'll see you next week. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to catch all our old podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud and our website, which is www.touchlinefracker.co.uk. We'll be back next week. So have a good week, guys. Bye.